like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher today Mr. Jonathan Story. Jonathan has finished his third year at the Whitfield College of the Bible. The evening service is at 7 p.m., preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and Mr. Story will take that service. The midweek meeting, as usual, on Wednesday at 8 p.m., and the Reverend Ormerod will be back to take that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and the Reverend Ormerod will be the preacher. The Reverend Ormerod has also asked me to announce that volunteers are needed on Thursday evening, the 12th of August at 7 p.m., to distribute leaflets for the Children's Holiday Bible Club. So if you can help in that way, you can meet at the church at 7 p.m. this Thursday.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you in Six Mile Cross. As our brother's already said, my name is Jonathan Story. I've just finished my third year in the Whitfield College of the Bible, and they say time flies when you're having fun, and I don't know what's been happening with me, but the time has flown by. It's been a great time in the Whitfield College, I must say, and the Lord has really given help. It's just a strange thought that I'm going now into my final year, and I would ask that you continue to pray for the Whitfield College and pray for Mr. Nelson, that he would know the Lord's wisdom and guidance for our college at this time. We're going to sing together the Psalm number 32. The Psalm 32, O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgression he hath done, whose sin is covered. And we'll stand together while we sing this hymn. Thank you. Rise. finish at number 8. Seek our God in prayer, ask for his help for the remainder of this service. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow in thy presence. And Lord, we thank thee that we can come to thee, Lord, not in any merit of our own, but Lord, only through the merits of Christ's precious shed blood. Lord, we thank thee that he came to this world to live a perfect life. Lord, he obeyed the law down to each and every last jot and tittle. And Lord, we praise thee that he went to the cross to die an atoning death. Lord, there in our place condemned he stood, and he sealed our pardon with his blood. And therefore, Lord, we say unto thee this morning, Lord, hallelujah, what a Saviour we have. And Lord, we thank thee for everything that he is to us. Lord, we praise thee that he has given us the garments of his righteousness. And Lord, we praise thee that we are now accepted into the family of God, Lord, as sons and as daughters. Lord, we praise thee that we can now come unto thee in this way, Lord. We come and lay out our wants and petitions before thee. And Lord, we do pray for the service ahead of us. Lord, we do pray for the reading of thy word. Lord, we do pray for the hymns as they are sung. Lord, we do pray for the word as it would go forth. Lord, we do pray that each and every aspect of this service would be known of God, Lord, that your presence would be in the very midst of it. And Lord, even that Christ would be exalted this morning. Lord, we do pray for each and every child of thine gathered in this morning. We do pray that you would speak to their hearts, Lord. For those perhaps who are cold at heart, Lord, we do pray that you would give them grace. And Lord, we do pray that you would give them help, Lord, to return unto their first love. Lord, we do pray for those who perhaps are backslidden, Lord. We do pray that you would return them, Lord. We do pray that you would speak to them and stop them in their tracks. And Lord, even for those who are outside of Christ, who have never come to thee as their own and personal Saviour, Lord, we do pray. Speak to them this morning. Lord, show them their need of salvation. Show them their need of Christ and how to go on without him is folly. Lord, we do pray. Save souls this morning, we ask. And Lord, we do pray for each and every denomination, Lord, each and every church that is faithful to thee. Lord, we do pray for those that are faithful to thy word. We do pray as they would preach the gospel today, Lord, as they would speak to each and every heart within their own congregations. Lord, we do pray that you would bless them. Lord, we do pray that you would speak to them and speak through them, Lord. And we do pray that even today we would hear of souls coming to know thee as Lord and Saviour. Lord, we do pray for the church here in Six Mile Cross. We praise thee for it. We praise thee for a gospel witness here in this town. Lord, we do pray for the Reverend Omerod as he has taken some time off. We do pray that he would be refreshed in his spirit, Lord, that he would be reinvigorated for the work ahead. And Lord, that he would come back knowing the help of God, Lord, being ready to start out on new work for thee, Lord. We do pray that he would know thy presence here as he preaches the word week in and week out, Lord. We do pray even for the town of Six Mile Cross. We do pray that this church would have an influence, a great influence over their lives. Lord, we do pray that the souls would come into this church, Lord, that they would know the God that we serve, Lord, and they would heed his warnings and come unto him in faith and repentance. Lord, we do pray for even the children's work here and the youth work at this church. We do pray that you would build it up, Lord, and that even as there is a holiday Bible club planned, that you would be in the very midst of it. Lord, we do pray for each and every worker, that you would prepare their hearts, Lord, ready to serve thee, ready to tell young people and boys and girls all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of this world. And Lord, we do pray that you would even refine our own hearts, Lord. We do pray that you would reinvigorate our own souls. Lord, we do pray that any dross and any deadness that is in our hearts, we do pray that you would scrape that away. And Lord, we would be coming forth as precious gold, fit for your use, Lord. And we do pray that we would be vessels that are fit for the Master's use today. Lord, we do pray that you would come down and dwell amongst us. Lord, help us, we pray. Give us a sense of thy presence. And Lord, we do pray that thy Holy Spirit would move throughout each and every child of thine today. And Lord, that we would each and every one of us have a word from thee today. Lord, bless us now, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm number 32. Psalm number 32 is where our reading is found today. The psalm that we've just sung together. We want to read it through and see what the Lord has to say to us. This is a psalm of David, as the title suggests, and it's called a maskil, which just means of giving instruction. Therefore, there's much to be learned from this psalm. There's much truth found within it. So let's come to this passage now. Let's read it together and see what the Lord would have to say to us. Psalm number 32, and we'll read the whole psalm together. There the word of God says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Amen. We trust and we pray that God will bless his word to our hearts and will speak to us through his inspired word today. We'll just come to another hymn before we come to the preaching of God's word, and it is the hymn 402. The hymn 402, and again, we'll stand while we sing this hymn together, a beautiful hymn, "Jesus, what a friend of sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul." Hymn 402, and we'll stand while we sing. If you've kept your Bible open, turn again there to Psalm number 32. Psalm 32. And we really want to focus in on verse number 5 this morning. So let's read it again together. Let's see what God has to say from his word. Psalm 32, verse number 5. There it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. And that word there, Selah, at the end, it just means to take time to pause and reflect on what has been said. And as we do that, we'll just come to our God in prayer and ask him for his help while we come to the preaching of God's word. And you pray in your own heart, he'll speak to you this morning. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise thee for thy word. We praise thee that we can trust every page within it. Lord, we praise thee that it is divinely inspired, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And Lord, we praise thee that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction and righteousness, Lord. We do pray now as we come to study this passage, Lord. We do pray as we come to study thy word, that you would fill me with thy spirit, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, and that this morning God's word would be heard. Lord, God's voice would speak to each and every heart today. Lord, we do pray that man's voice would perish, Lord, that man's ego would perish, and Lord, that Christ and God would be exalted this morning. We pray that you would speak to us now. Lord, give us a sense of thy presence. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Gary Richmond, who is a famous zoologist, he has written many different books on animals and zoology, and he's gained a very interesting perspective on snakes. He worked with a snake handler in a zoo over in England. Richmond and four other men, they milked the venom from a king cobra. And this was an extremely dangerous task. The king cobra is the largest venomous snake in this world, and therefore safety was of the utmost importance. The king cobra has enough venom to kill 1,000 adults, and therefore they had to be very cautious when they were coming to milk this cobra of its venom. An entire roll of paper towels were pushed up into the king cobra's mouth, causing the king cobra to bite down and to release all those toxic venoms through their fangs. And once the paper towels were saturated in that lethal venom, they were ready to release the snake. And the snake handler gave a very important warning to Mr. Richmond. He said, more people are bitten trying to let go of snakes than when they grab them. And if the cobra was not released properly, it would turn round and bite its captors. And this morning, I want to draw a comparison to our own lives through this illustration of the king cobra. Many people, they claim to repent of sin, but yet they do not forsake it. That is like letting go of the cobra's head, but not letting go of its tail, knowing at any moment that it could turn around to bite in a very devastating and a fatal way. And here in the Psalm number 32 that we have read together this morning, the author of the Psalm indicated to us as David. He is seeking to set forth to us many wonderful facts about the Christian life. There is so much more than just the verse that we want to focus in on this morning here in chapter 32. In verse number 1, he speaks of the joy of sins forgiven. What a blessed thing it is, dear Christian, to know that your transgressions are forgiven and that your sin is covered under Christ's blood. He sets forth in verse number 7 the protection that we enjoy from the Lord. Verse number 7, he says that God is our hiding place. He will preserve us in the day of trouble. He will compass us about. That means that he will surround us in the day of our deliverance with songs of deliverance. Verse number 10 speaks of God's mercy toward us. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So many great truths within this chapter. But in verse number 5, we read of David giving a very clear picture of what repentance is, what biblical repentance is. It is a doctrine that is often very misunderstood, and sadly a doctrine that is very overlooked in today's society, and even within the Christian church, it is a doctrine that is often neglected. And therefore we want to ask the question this morning, what is biblical repentance? And to do that, we want to see firstly that it is a view of sin. It is a view of sin. Read with me again the verse number 5. It says there, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. And here David has set forth, he sets forth the very first mark of what true repentance is, of what real biblical repentance is. It is to have that real and that very proper view of what sin is. As we have said already, maskil means instruction. And therefore David is seeking to instruct those on us of who are reading this passage on how blessed it is to have sins forgiven. And therefore let us think under this first point, the fact that it is a real view of sin. Repentance is a real view of sin. And firstly, we want you to see that it is a sight of sin. It is a sight of sin. It is clear to see in this verse that David really saw his sin for what it was. And by a real view, I mean that he really knew what his sin was, and he viewed it as how it affected other people and how it affected God. The word that David used here for acknowledge in the Hebrew is the word yada. And the word yada, it is an all-inclusive word. It means not only to have a sight for sin, but it means to acknowledge and to know and to feel. And therefore, David, we can say that he was not exempt from sin in his life. While he was described after a man of God's own heart, truly one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, ushered in the golden age in Judah's history. Yet, David knew what it was to sin and to need forgiveness. And we can think, I'm sure many of your minds this morning are going back to that time in David's life when he committed that terrible sin against the Lord, which started off with the sin of slothfulness in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11 describes to us the fact that David did not go to war. It was the custom for kings to go out to battle, to be with their men, to lead them, to rally the troops. But yet we see that David was slothful. He was lazy. He did not do that which was expected of him. And this led David to go onto the roof to see Bathsheba there, bathing. His eyes wandered where they shouldn't have. His mind went to a place it shouldn't have went. And this led to David taking Bathsheba, lying with her in his own chambers, and committing the sin of adultery. But then to try and cover up that sin, David sent Uriah to the front of the battle. And through that sin he committed murder. Therefore what we can say is what might have started as a small sin, if you want to call it that, the sin of slothfulness, led to David committing adultery and murdering a man. And David realizes his sin. He sees his sin for what it truly is when the Lord sends the prophet Nathan to rebuke him in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the very next chapter of that book. There we see that the psalm that David wrote after his encounter with the prophet Nathan is the psalm number 51. And turn with me there, just over a couple of pages from the psalm number 32. Psalm 51 records to us, and we can see it even from the title, that this is to the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And this psalm details to us very, very clearly how David viewed his sin. Read with me the first five verses, please. There, Psalm 51, verses 1 through to 5, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And pay particular attention to that verse number 3 there. David says there that he acknowledges his transgressions, that his sin is ever before him. He realizes what his sin truly is. And what is it? It is an offense against a holy God. It is a breaking of God's law. It is a grieving of God. Like we read in Luke 15 verse 17, it says of the prodigal son that when he came to himself, it shows us that his eyes were opened to his sin. He sees his transgression against his father for what it was. And therefore I ask this morning, do we have a true sight of sin, of what it truly is? Sin is described as a transgression or a breaking of God's law. And when we sin, do we realize how it displeases the Lord, our Father, believer in here this morning, when we sin in this life, and let's not kid ourselves, once we are saved, yes, we are saved from our sin. We are saved from the dominion and the power of sin, but the presence of sin still remains because we are still in these fleshly temples. And sin remains in our life. But do we realize that when we sin, we are offending and we are displeasing our Heavenly Father? Do we realize what our sin is doing? So we see that it is a sight of sin, but also in the view of sin, it is a sorrow for sin. Having a right view of sin and how it is an offense to a holy God will lead us and should not lead us naturally to have sorrow for our sin. David, in another psalm, in Psalm number 38 and verse 18, he says, "For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin." David clearly in his life had that real view of what sin was, how it displeased God, how it offended a holy God, but he also had that true sorrow for sin. Commenting on the Hebrew word here for sorry in that verse in Hebrew or in Psalm 38 verse 18, John Gill, he said it can mean to be careful about. That is, he committed his future. True repentance for sin produces a carefulness to abstain from all appearance of evil. He then brings us to a verse in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. It says there, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Therefore, it is vital to realize that this aspect of repentance, and in true biblical repentance, we will see that there will be a sorrow for our sin when we realize the displeasure that we have caused our Heavenly Father. Thomas Watson, he also said of godly sorrow for sin, "A woman may as well expect to have a child without pangs, that is pains, as one might have repentance without sorrow. He that can believe without doubting, suspect his faith, and he that can repent without sorrowing, suspect his repentance." This sorrow that we should feel for our sins is not some supernatural facade. It is not something that we just put on a frown on our face, "I'm very sorry for my sin," and we look doomy and gloomy. No, that is not what true sorrow for sin is. It is a true holy agony within our souls. It is us realizing that we have displeased our Heavenly Father. And therefore, I wonder, when was the last time that we felt this agony, this sorrow over our sin? And I speak for myself as much as anyone else in here this morning. As we have said, we are not perfect. Once we are justified, we are then sanctified day and daily, and we will never be perfect until that day that we are glorified. And I still sin each and every day. I still feel the Lord many times throughout the week. But when was the last time that we felt that gut-wrenching sorrow over our sin and the fact that we have caused hurt to our Heavenly Father, the one who has given his own Son to purchase our redemption? He is the one that we have displeased. He is the one that we have caused sorrow to. And should that not bring sorrow to our own hearts and to our own lives when we see the sin that we commit against our God? I wonder in here this morning, if there is one outside of Christ, you have never trusted in Christ for your salvation. You've never came to him and acknowledged your sin. You've never confessed it before him and asked for that forgiveness, for that cleansing in the blood of Christ. Do you realize that your sin will lead you to a lost eternity in hell? It puts you on that broad road which leads, as the Bible says, to destruction. And therefore this morning, sinner, saved alike, do we have a real view of what sin is? Do we see what sin is and how it offends a holy God? And do we have a sorrow for that sin and how it has displeased our Heavenly Father? So we've seen that it is a view of sin, but secondly, I want you to see that it is confession of sin. It is confession of sin. Because if we read again that verse in Psalm 32, verse 5, it says there, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord." And here we see that David is not just seeking to hide his sin from the Lord. Indeed, no sin that we ever commit in this life can ever be hidden from the Lord. You think back to the Garden of Eden, that time when Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit, they disobeyed God and his command. They tried to hide from the Lord, but yet they could not hide from God. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. Adam and Eve, when they ate that forbidden fruit and they disobeyed God, they tried to hide their sin from him. But God knew that they had sinned. God knew where exactly they were hiding. So we must realize that to try and hide our sins from God is utter foolishness. While we may hide our sins from those around us, while we may hide our sins from our family and from our friends, yet we can never hide our sin from God. David also talks in this verse about confessing our sins unto God. And how much so has that word confession become a sticky point for Christians today? How has that word become a sticking point for many Protestant Christians today? We are so dead set against that Roman Catholic practice of confession to a priest that all too often we can then lay off what confession of sin is altogether. Sin is not, confession of our sin is not to be to a priest in any church, but it is to be to our great high priest in heaven. This ought not to be the case. Confession is a sin, or confession of sin is commanded from Scripture. It is commanded of the Lord that we are to confess our sins unto God, unto our Heavenly Father. Leviticus 26, there in verses 40 and 42, it says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, then the Lord promises to remember the covenant that he has made with his people. That covenant of grace that is with his people if they will only confess their iniquities. Turn with me very quickly back there to Leviticus 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Because in verse 40, the Lord talks about confessing the iniquity of the people. And then in verse number 42, we see what that can lead to. Leviticus 26 and verse number 42. Remember, the prelude to this is that God has said if they will confess their sin before me. Then in verse number 42 of Leviticus 26, God says, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. And if we take that last phrase there, I will remember the land. Do we not want the Lord to remember our land this day? We live, and you don't need me to tell you here from this pulpit this morning. You have phones, you have whatever it might be, you have ways of getting information. And we look around, we see the sin that is around us. We see the fact that there is so much apathy to God's word. We see the fact that there is no care for men's souls anymore in this world. We see laws being passed that are contrary, completely contrary to God's word. Do we not want the Lord to remember our land, to come back and sweep through it with mighty power? Well, what does the Lord command us to do? He commands us, even as God's people, to confess our sins unto him. To confess our sins so that he will remember this land. So that he will remember the covenant that he has made with us, his people, from all eternity past. That he will save a people out of every tongue, tribe, and nation. And that through the seed of Abraham, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, all the nations of the world should be blessed. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says there that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And what grace we see here displayed by our God, the one who has redeemed us by his blood, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, even though we still sin against him every day in thought, word, and in deed, yet there is still mercy to be found when we confess our sins. And also, as that verse has told us, to forsake our sins as well. As we have said, repentance is that daily act. It is a daily act. Mark 1 verse 15. Turn with me there for a wee minute. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 15. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Indeed, many believe that these are the very first words that Christ spake as he was here starting his ministry upon the earth. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says there, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the message that we preach. We preach that salvation is of two pillars. You have faith and you have repentance. The two go hand in hand together. And Christ here is saying that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, in our translation, we read it as repent ye and believe the gospel. But if we look at the Greek translation in the original language that it is written in, we see that these words here, repent and believe, they're in the continuous form in the Greek. So that means that we are to be repenting and to keep on repenting. It means that we are to believe the gospel and keep on believing the gospel. Repentance is not some one-time act that we do. We do not say sorry and confess our sins to the Lord when we come to him in salvation and then never confess our sins again and never repent of them again. No, when we come to God, we repent and we keep on repenting throughout this life because we are not sinlessly perfect. And then when Christ calls us to believe the gospel, he doesn't want us just to believe the gospel at that moment in time when the Lord steps into our life and saves us from our sin. He wants us to keep on believing the gospel. Therefore, Christ calls us every day to confess our sins unto him and to repent of them also, to turn away and to forsake them. And for those in here this morning who perhaps do not realize or do not want to come to terms with the fact that in this life we will never be sinlessly perfect, let me point you to the words of Jeremiah in chapter 2 and verse 23. It says there, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? 1 John 1 verse 8, there the apostle John, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Here John is writing to Christians, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, those who are in the flock and the family of God, and he is exhorting them to be careful because we still sin in this life. He then goes on to pen those beautiful words in verse number 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And believer in here this morning, let it be a thrill and a joy to your heart today that Christ does not just cover some of our sins. He did not just make atonement for some of our sins, but he made an atonement for each and every sin that we commit against him. He has forgiven us all our iniquities and all our unrighteousness. God is willing to cleanse us from all of our sin if we will only, or because of the sake of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas Watson, he wrote a book on repentance, and he explained on the subject of confession of sin that as Satan is the great accuser of the brethren, we must accuse ourselves of that sin in our own lives and confess them unto God. Because then this gives Satan no grounds upon which to accuse the brethren. It gives Satan no grounds whereon to accuse us of falling away from God, of being unfaithful to God. Therefore, if we accuse ourselves of our sin before Satan ever has the chance to, he cannot niggle at us. He cannot tell us, how can you be saved if you have done that sin? Therefore, brethren and sisters in here this morning, confess your sin unto the Lord. Watson goes on to give several points on what confession of sin is. It is voluntary. It must be without compunction. That is, it must wound the heart. We must feel the weight of our sin. It must be sincere. And it must be confessed with the resolution to never again return to that sin. Therefore, confession is a vital aspect of what true repentance is, as we see here in Psalm number 32. So we have seen that it is a view of sin. We have seen that it is confession of our sin. And lastly, I want us to consider the fact that it leads to forgiveness of sin. Read with me again, Psalm 32, verse 5. It says there, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He forgave the iniquity of our sin. And as we have said, that word selah just means to pause, to reflect on what we have just read. Even though we have sinned against our God, even though we have broken his law and broken even his heart, if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he will forgive the iniquity of our sin. The definition of the word iniquity here was given as follows. As found in the Bible, iniquity is defined as being wicked or immoral in a nature or character. Primarily, it indicates not an action, but the character of an action, and is so distinguished from sin. Therefore, we can have the phrase, the iniquity of my sin. Iniquity can be described as the essence of evil or wrongdoing, while sin is the quality actually enacted in this world. And so when we see our sin for what it is, The fact that it is a breaking of God's law and a disobeying of what God wants us to do and seeking forgiveness of that sin, then God has promised us in his word time and time and time again that he will forgive us from our sin. It is interesting when we consider the words of Isaiah 65, verse 24. It says there, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." This verse points us to the fact that God's ears are ever open unto the cry of his people. Even before they call, God promises to answer our cry unto him. Scripture tells us that God is ever ready to hear our cry and to forgive us of our iniquities. Psalm 86, verse number 5, it says, "Therefore thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Psalm 103, verse 3, says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And child of God in here this morning, what a great joy and privilege it is to know the one who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, and especially that disease that we have in our heart of sin. Therefore, it's clear that we can obtain mercy and forgiveness with God. It's through the washing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder this morning, have you come to the meeting? And do you feel that God has forsaken you? Do you feel that God is no longer with you, that he is no longer by your side? Do you feel that you've committed so great a sin against God that he will no longer be merciful to you, that he will no longer pour out the bowels of his compassion upon you? Let me tell you, that's not the case. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12, listen very carefully to these words. It says there, "Go and proclaim these words unto the north, and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Yes, while the Lord may be displeased, and while we have grieved the one who has loved us, who has sent his Son to die for us, and while we have grieved him and growing cold at heart, yet he will not forget you and leave you alone. He will not leave his people destitute. He has promised that his anger will not be against you forever. There will be a period of time where you will fall under the displeasure of God, but he has promised that that anger will subside, that that anger will not be upon you forever. You can have mercy and forgiveness with God this morning. And dear sinner, is that not a comfort to your heart? Even though you have went on in your sin for many years, you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you have neglected his word and his work there upon the cross, yet there is forgiveness to be found if you will confess your sin. If you will see your sin for what it is, confess it before the Lord and find forgiveness in the blood of Christ. Believer, in here this morning, what a joy it is to know that even though we are never sinlessly perfect, even though we will still sin day and daily, yet there is forgiveness to be found with the Lord. There is forgiveness to be found if we will see our sin, confess our sin, and find forgiveness of our sin. Therefore, this morning, we say the prayer as it is here in Psalm number 32, verse 5. "Lord, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." This is what biblical repentance is. Do not trifle with sin, but repent of it and confess it before the Lord. We used the illustration in the introduction of that king cobra and how many people are bitten because they don't let go of the tail of the snake. Therefore, I urge you, let go of sin this morning. By the grace and by the help of God. We cannot do it on our own strength. We need his help. We need his strength to let go of sin in our lives. Because as we say, we are still in the flesh. And the flesh, it attacks us every day. It is arguably the greatest enemy that we will face in this lifetime, as our own flesh. Therefore, repent of your sin this morning. Turn from it. And as we have said, vow never to go back to it. And trust alone in the Lord. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's close in prayer. our God and our gracious Father in heaven. Lord, we praise thee that even though we fail thee, even though we come very far short, Lord, of what we should be as thy people, Lord, we praise thee that there is forgiveness to be found. And Lord, we praise thee that there is still forgiveness to be found for those outside of Christ and here this morning. Lord, we do pray that they would have a real view of their sin and how it offends thee, how it condemns them, Lord, to a lost eternity in hell forever. But Lord, I pray that they would see if they will confess their sin. Lord, if they will come to thee in faith and in repentance, that you will forgive them of their iniquity. Lord, I pray that thy people will be encouraged, Lord, that they will be challenged even today to repent of their sin, to look wholeheartedly unto our God for salvation, Lord. And we pray that for those outside of Christ, they will hear the words of Christ saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, I pray that you would take us to your homes in safety. Lord, I pray you would watch over us throughout this day. And Lord, even bring us out again to the evening service where we might hear again afresh from thy word and be taught from thy word. Lord, we ask these things in your precious and all-worthy name. Amen.